Welcome to the Wine Vault. On tonight's episode, Rob and Scott revisit an old friend, namely the Pedroncelli Mother Clone Zinfandel from Dry Creek Valley in California. So sit back, relax, and enjoy tonight's Wine Vault. Welcome to the Wine Vault. It is I, Rob the Wine Guy, and tonight, I'm joined by Scott, the licensed taxi driver.
Hello, Rob. It's good to be here. How is everybody doing?
Oh, I'm doing deliciously fine.
Deliciously fine?
That's right. Deliciously fine.
Oh, Jesus.
They say, Wilford.
Like Larry Fine? Like the Three Stooges, Larry Fine?
They asked me. At the police
Who's
station.
They? At the police station,
yeah,
okay.
You know. Yeah, they said,
I don't know. But...
How is your victim? I said, she's deliciously fine. Then they realized it did taken a bad turn for that victim. So, you know. Yes. Deliciously fine is never a good thing, is all I'm saying.
Well, it's better than tough and chewy and tendon-laced.
I don't think the victim cares. They'd rather it be tough for me, so. Anyway,
we had a restaurant, and Grandpa's taking his granddaughter out, and they get steaks. Girl, 12, 13, something like that, and he orders a freaking porterhouse steak. And she's like, this is bad. And we're, you know, I'm paraphrasing because we're just there at the end of the bar with us. Why his granddaughter's at the bar with him, that's another story. But she cuts in her steak and saying it's bad. And then he's like, let me see it. And he starts cutting into it. And he's like, oh, this is bad. And there was a 15-minute, not argument, but he was that guy that didn't want to send it back. And the bartender's like, no, let me send it back. Let me get you another steak. And he continues to cut, looking for just enough to cut out a couple bites for. And he can't because it's tendon and blood vessel laden.
Where was this at?
Establishment in Reynoldsburg.
The Hickory House, folks.
Princess loves to get that porterhouse.
I've been to the Hickory House.
They do some things well, but their steaks are fine.
Their Dr. Pepper is just fine.
No, actually, they have problems with their syrup at the pop gun machine.
They suck.
No, it's okay.
No.
It is.
It's not.
It is.
Reader's Digest would find them to be bad.
Actually, it would pass all the tests at Reader's Digest. Yeah.
The parking lot is a mess, last time I checked. But
no.
And it's
perfectly
empty.
Perfectly clean.
Well, regardless.
It's full.
That's true.
Hickory House is busy, sir.
On tonight's show, we are revisiting an old, not an old wine, but a wine that we have drank in the past.
Allegedly. I don't remember it. He says we did. Believe him.
It was like season two. So I can understand why you wouldn't. Years ago, we drank this one, but I've drank this wine on several occasions. In fact, I have been to this winery, and I've drank many other products from them, and I really do enjoy them.
They're a good maker.
They are a good maker. They are
Pedroncelli.
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 This is their Dry Creek Valley Mother Clone Zin. Now, the winery itself is smack dab right in the heart of Russian River Valley, and they make some great wines. They make... Obviously, the Mother Clone is under 20. They have some higher level Zins that are in the 30s. Well, 20s and 30s, those are great. One thing I love is their sub-20 Cabernet.
Find that,
I think
though.
It's the Three Valleys. You should be able to find it on wine.com. Haven't in a minute. I love that wine. It was quintessential Sonoma. I think it was a Dry Creek Valley, but it was the quintessential Sonoma Cabernet. It was so good. It was so good. I have their port. I've ordered direct from the winery actually before, and I love their port. It's a nice cheap port.
Three Vineyards Dry Creek Cab.
Yeah, right? Yep. That's so good. It really is a good one.
They have a Merlot.
They do. I've had that as well. It's nice.
All low 20s.
Mm-hmm. We've had their Sangiovese on the show as well, folks. Back when we, it was like the California does Euro wines, yeah. I think something like that. And the Sangiovese was old, but that's okay.
Yeah, it was spent.
It was spent. But still, it was still better than the Arsonist.
Well.
It was the Tempranillo by, yeah, the Jack Wagons. But
when did you last have their port?
I have still have a bottle in the wine vault.
Vintage, yeah.
Well, yes, it is vintage, but it's a cheaper one, but it's still
16,
good.
16, a 13?
15, I think.
Because I don't think they make the port every year.
They don't, but you can normally order it. You can order it right now. I think it's $22 or $3 a bottle.
Now, they do have an upper level. It's called mm-hmm. Wisdom, which you wouldn't know anything about that.
I would, actually.
$50? Mm-hmm. 50 of your American dollars?
All their stuff is worth the money. And this wine is around 16 to 17.
24 of your American dollars for the 2020.
Yeah, you can buy it in the teens. But still, it is one of these wineries that every year, if you're looking for a good, strong, reasonably priced Dry Creek Valley Zinfandel, if you pick up a bottle of Pedroncelli, you know it's going to be good.
And in general,
yeah,
this guy's opinion, Dry Creek Valley's in, who cares who makes it? It's going to be good.
Well, Trader Joe's has the Dry Creek Valley. Would you like to drink that?
I don't know that they do. I think it's Dry Creek with an extra E, and it's spelled with K-R-E-E-K-E. So I'm not counting that.
You tell me. There's the bottle.
I'm not. See, it's spelled wrong.
I don't think it is.
Let's open it.
No.
Let's drink it straight from the bottle. Come on, let's twist the sucker off and go, baby.
Hey, give it back to me. I'll put it back where it came from.
Well, let's do side by side.
I don't want to do that. I'm too scared.
You broke it out.
No, I was just showing you. Give that back. It's a prop.
I'm going to tell you that that's going to be okay.
Next week, you'll find that out because it'll be the second episode of the Wine Vault.
No, let's break it out, man. Come on.
You're drunk.
Be brave.
Well, regardless, on the show tonight, we're A, going to have Wilford tell some jokes.
No, we're not.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Lord.
B, we're going to drink the Pedroncelli. This is order of importance. And C, we have a lovely, well, not lovely, an interesting expose of a potpourri.
Expose?
Not really. Expose based on no evidence. It's like Reader's Digest article, really, is all it is.
That's like anything in mainstream right-wing or left-wing politics. No evidence of anything.
Exactly. So we are going to be professional.
Yeah. Or on Facebook.
Yeah.
Or Twitter.
Which we are.
Not really.
No, we don't go on there. Do people like us on Twitter? I don't know. I lost the password. So it's like it's in your name, so I don't know. Regardless, folks, we're going to take a break. But be right back here on The Wine Vault. Hey everybody, it's Rob the Wine Guy. Do you love the Wine Vault? Do you want the world to know about the Wine Vault? Well, do you know the best way to do that? By giving us a review wherever you get your podcasts. Whether that be on iTunes or Stitcher or TuneIn or Spreaker or Podbean or some other app I've never heard of but probably gave your phone a virus when you downloaded it. So take that time. Give us that review. Give us your thoughts and feedback. That way, everyone will know to listen to, enjoy, and join us on The Wine Vault. And we'll be right back. And we're back, folks. So,
off air, I was saying that I'm an optimist.
You are.
I think that Trader Joe's Dry Creek is going to be good.
Great. The Pedroncelli, it's a 2019 vintage Mother Clone Dry Creek Valley Zinfandel. Now, this wine does, in fact, have a review.
Oh.
It does. It's from the wines. It's Wilford Wong. It's Wilford Wong here. No, I didn't enjoy this, but or drink it or enjoy it. Or I've never even heard of Pedroncelli, Scott. But I did read on their website that the Wine Spectator reviewed this wine. They gave it 89 of their points. And they wrote, ripe and briary. With baked cherry, licorice, and cracked pepper flavors that finish with zesty tannins. That's all they wrote.
That's it.
That's when I was 89. What do you want? Yes. Now, I don't really have any information as to the makeup of this wine, although I could look real quick, because I know they do have a, well, they have a website that's built more from for selling wine.
It's not user friendly.
It's not, but I've bought wine on there before and enjoyed it. Mostly the port, because you can't get the port outside the winery. So, and, but then again, anymore, you can't get any of the wine outside the fucking winery, because wine.com and their fucking douchebaggery. I love it when they have, like, ads. They send you an email. Bordeaux is great, and we sell Bordeaux futures. And then you look in, and they have 27 different Bordeaux.
Yeah. Yeah.
Go fuck yourself, wine.com. Yeah. Fuck you. They don't have any information as to the 2019 vintage, but
it looks like it's 100% Zinfandel. The 2020 appears to be 100% Zinfandel. That's what you've got here. There aren't any tech sheets.
Nope.
I'll say this. You know, we drink a lot of Zin, and it's common to be blended with Petit Sirah, but not always. I wouldn't say that's the norm.
No, not the ones that we want to drink, honestly. Well,
but it's done a lot, though. It really is.
Well, to be labeled any primary, to be labeled a varietal, just a straight varietal, you have to be more than 75% of that varietal.
Yeah, and there's some stretching of that.
Yeah, and so on some wines, you might see, like, Ridge is one where you're going to look at 70s for Zinfandel, and then everything is trickled in after that. Turley is similar in the way they do. A lot of the great producers do that. That being said, if you have great Zin, just fuck roll with that.
It's just, it's personal preference.
Yep.
How you make it. I'm surprised that this honestly doesn't have some Petit Sirah in it.
Well.
Or they're just mute about that.
They do make a Petit Sirah.
And that's what makes me think they're going to be at least single digit percentages.
They could put a drop or two. They could put a drop or two. One thing I'd like to tell you about, though, folks, the vintage port from Pedroncelli, it might look like a 500 milliliter, but it's a 750.
Wait, what?
Yeah, it is. It is.
Get your party on.
Well, you know.
Robert likes his port.
I do.
If you are in the room and you've drank a whole bottle of port by yourself, raise your hand. Oh, I didn't. You did.
It's because I'm a drunk. I'm a man. I'm a man. I do what I can. I'm a man. That's a good song.
Sure it is.
It's great. So in the glass, this wine looks like Zinfandel. Crimson red, a little translucent, but not too bad. No cloudiness.
Last episode, we had Zin that was slightly translucent, and it was magnificent. This might even be a little more translucent than the OVR was.
On the nose, this smells like Zin.
Love the nose.
Briar Patch Zin.
Completely methylated alcohol in a wonderful fashion, like mint gum.
Yeah.
It's just wonderful.
Great raspberry notes. Yeah, if you're wanting to know what a briar patch nose smells like,
that's this.
Yeah, smell the mother clone. That's the thing. In Zin, you know, we have upscale Zins out the wazoo that are mystifying, that have notes of turmeric and herb and, you know, cherry and plum.
Capricapurine.
That's right. Blood orange. But a purist says, that's great, but I want to smell a briar patch nose. And that's what this is.
And a little bit of baking spice in there.
Yeah.
This is a great nose.
It's great. It's a great Zinfandel nose.
Bingo.
Yeah.
Jinx. It's very classic, proper Zin nose.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't expect anything less from Pietrangeli.
Mm-hmm. Let's go.
Yeah, let's go in.
Yum. That's just Zin.
Here we go. Here's fact sheets. Mm. Oh, man, that's fantastic. Savory fruit.
Yeah.
Fantastic savory
juicy fruit. Juicy, savory fruit.
This is everything Zin should be from Dry Creek.
It's just Zin. This is Zinfandel. If I'm looking up Zin in a freaking dictionary, I see a bottle of Pietrangeli Mother Clone. If I'm trying to tell somebody, what should Zin taste like?
This is it. At least for Dry Creek.
Hell, fuck it. Anywhere. This is great. A great Zin. I wish I wasn't already partially drunk from the first bottle because I could really indulge in this one. But I know if I indulge in this one overly, I will die. But that's okay.
You're going to indulge in this. You're so full of shit.
I know. I'm going to die. What I'm going to be saying at the end of this episode, folks, will be so incoherent. No one will know. I might actually pass out on air. But we'll find out that out together. It'd be fantastic.
First time for everything. No, it'd
be the fifth time for everything this month.
I found a tech sheet, by the way.
Oh, did you?
14% Petit Sirah.
I get it.
That's what we'd expect, right?
Yeah.
Tasting notes. Jammy, berry, and cherry flavors combined with vanilla, licorice, and baking spice. It's everything we said. It's everything we love. It's everything we want. They recommend enjoy now or sell it for 3 to 5 years.
Yep.
Perfect. Does it have the life of a Turley? I don't know. Probably not. But 3 to 5 years is fine. That's a reasonable amount of time for a quality wine. That's $20.
There are people out there that are just, they are Zin snobs, all right? Now, they don't get down with the Carlisles. They don't get down with the Turleys.
Shame on them?
Well, no, but they don't. They are focused on things that they can acquire without being on a waiting list or seek out. There are people like that. What do they gravitate towards? They gravitate towards a Dry Creek vineyard.
Sure.
They gravitate towards this.
Mm-hmm.
You can buy green and red. Although green and red I would put in that other category, though, wouldn't I? Segashio.
Yeah, Segashio, Dry Creek Vineyards. And this is somewhat, I would guess, less available than those two.
Sometimes Klein.
I would not mention Klein in this
Klein
category.
Klein slid off. The ancient vines used to be up in these.
It's not.
It's not anymore.
I have been off of Klein for a long time.
Yeah, like five vintages ago, it would have been. They've really sloughed off.
Well, there was that, you know, when we first started doing the show.
Yeah.
It was a golden era for Zin. If there was a Z on the label, it was fantastic.
But
you
Klein,
couldn't go wrong.
But Klein before that always was good.
Okay.
It's just, I don't know. The ancient Klein, or the ancient vine Zin, which Becky would take offense to, always was a really great drinker. It was Contra Costa. Contra Costa, for those who don't know, can be a bit of an odd duck. Can have some, you know, bubblegummy kind of rubber band kind of flavors.
It's not my favorite region for Zin.
It can be unusual. However, the ancient Klein, when you gave it a chance, could be nice. However, that time has passed. And now it's almost as if it's like a tourist attraction. The Lodi, which used to be palatable and solid.
It's awful.
It's undrinkable.
Well, and again, there was that window of time where the 14s, 15s, and 16s, Zin, it didn't matter what it was, who was making it, there was some quality about it. And I, you know, you could drink Lodi Zins then. Actually, we enjoyed Lodi Zins then.
Yeah.
We enjoyed them. We bought them.
Yeah.
Not anymore.
No.
Princess would get them every once in a while. And I'm like, honey, I won't drink this with you.
The grocery store stuff that's Lodi is not good.
And the Klein.
Mm-hmm.
The Lodi, that's bad. It sucks.
Yeah, that's bad. I haven't had Bogle in a hot minute. Their old vines in. It used to be solid. And it's so cheap. There's no reason why we shouldn't have it on the show again. We liked it when he had it that one time.
There's a reason.
But the rest
have
of the
had it recently?
No. But the rest of their stuff is crap. It used to be a winery that was cheap, but it was solid. And it ain't cheap and solid anymore. It's been crap for a couple of years now. We'll have to have the Old Vine Zen, maybe not on the show, but privately, and tell you. Maybe when there's 18 people over and we only have to have a thimble of it. But this wine, though, Segesio, Old Vine, you know, Ranchos and Baco used to be good, but that's an E.J. Gallo.
I haven't seen that in a long time.
That's E.J. Gallo. And so I don't want to take away from the potpourri. But some of those things are lines that get put out there. They have a run, and then they get pulled back, and they disappear, and they get rolled into other things. So Rancho Zumbago used to be one of those. I'm thinking of another one that used to be that kind of is in
that.
We
love Rancho.
It was good, but it's been – what was the last vintage we had? 14, 15? I mean, it's been years.
No. I've had it since then.
Well, I haven't, but – yeah, but I would say the three pillars of obtainable, fairly cheap Zin are Pedroncelli, Segesio, and Dry Creek.
Yeah.
You want to add anything onto that?
You can't go wrong with those three from this AVA.
Vintage.
Segesio's a rock star.
Mm-hmm.
They're, you know, after Rob showed me Turley, Segesio is one of the next things he showed me, and we did it early on the show, and it's just... You just know what it is. Same thing with Dry Creek. Mm-hmm. Probably Segesio has a little more gravitas about it, but from vintage to vintage, Dry Creek might be better than Segesio.
Yeah.
But this, haven't had it as much. It's not as readily available. This is freaking fantastic.
And this more than those other two is a lot more Zin-esque. Those other ones can be a little bit cab-like. This really embraces the briar patch.
Yeah.
It's brambly. It's classic Zin. It's classic Zin. What Zin purists love, this wine has in spades. It really does. You know, is it simpler than maybe something from, you know, Turley or something? Yes, it's simpler. Is that okay? It absolutely is, because Zin should taste like this. Now, yes, Zin has been, you know, transcended and extended beyond that in certain different wines from different makers. But this wine is a harken. It harkens back to
an era past.
Yeah,
it really does.
Mm-hmm.
This is, I think one of the things that people miss about domestic wines. I think everybody knows about the cabs, but not enough people know about Zin.
Yeah.
They could stand the same test of time. They don't have the gravitas. In general, they don't age quite as well. But you have a hell of a lot of high-quality old vine Zinfandels that can age as long as anything else.
Well, most people would actually.
Domestically.
Yeah.
Realistically. Are you going to age American wines more than 10 years?
I do. You just had one that was.
You can, but there's a certain element of risk about that.
Well,
right?
I mean, certain thing. I mean, you're ignoring. I mean, you can take Heights Martha's Vineyard and age that 30 years.
100%.
You can do that with Harlan. You can do that
maybe.
With.
Maybe.
Harlan?
Okay, maybe.
Screaming Eagle.
Screaming Eagle?
Those things are designed for that. These things are built in a lab.
Screaming Eagle's designed to sell at a high price.
They are, but they are big, massive wines that can age.
It's Screaming Eagle's even 30 years old.
Yeah. Well, no, it's probably not.
Because it's an invented thing like Corona.
Well, all wines are invented.
No,
well, not French
not
wines.
In this way.
In California they are, though.
No, not Zinfandels. They're 100-year-old vines, dude.
Why, no, but they weren't making Zin from them. What were they making back there at 100 years ago?
Yes, they were making wine.
I know, but they were making, like, hooch. They weren't making...
Oh, Lord.
I mean, they
now
weren't...
Now you're like, pissing in a bucket.
Pedroncelli was not making a Zinfandel. They were bottling.
No.
I mean,
well,
Turley wasn't.
Actually, They've been family owned since 1927, sir.
I know, but they
you're right. It's only 96 years.
Were they packaging and selling a Zen? No.
It's 1927, sir. You sold shit locally.
Oh, okay.
Come on, dude. It's their bonded winery. I don't know I've ever seen a bonded winery before. I know what that means in Kentucky when you're a bonded bourbon maker. Mm-hmm. What does it mean to be a bonded winery? Have you come across that term
before? For medicinal purposes?
Bonded Winery 113.
So
I don't know.
It must have been for medicinal purposes during Prohibition, right?
Maybe.
Yeah. I mean, they, though, Scott, they don't go, well, they have a couple things on there that might be some cheap stuff that I've never seen before that you probably wouldn't want to buy. But most generally, everything else of their stuff is made in the Olympic style. You know, it's made.
Our terms, folks.
Classic. Classic style. Cabernet. Classic Cabernet. Merlot. Classic Merlot. Vintage port. I mean, that's stretching it, seeing that it's from California, but
still,
it's port style. You know, they try to do things the traditional old school way that might not be, you know, oh my, it's not the cutting edge. The cutting edge is bullshit. The one thing you want to avoid in wine buying is buying the cutting edge. It's the new thing. Because the new thing sucks. You know why? Because it's the new thing. The old thing.
No, Screaming Eagle's great. You can age it for 30 years, Rob.
But it's Cabernet. I'm talking about the new thing. The, whatever that may be, the new trend. Oh, you know, the new trend in wine. Fuck that. Wine, what made wine popular? What is the OG? What's the basic element of wine that makes it great? That's what you focus on. That's what you buy. That's what you enjoy. You know, I don't want things made in a factory. I don't want that shit. You know, I don't want Meiomi. I don't want their low calorie Pinot Noir. I don't want their high calorie Pinot Noir.
I'm willing to try a new winery's product. I'm willing to try that, but I'm not excited about it necessarily. Who's a new winery where we had a good experience with?
Well, wine line.
Same kind of thing in our country, isn't it?
No, it's not. One's made in a factory. One actually has a building, has a history, has a pedigree, exists. One exists. One is just a fiction of. This is okay. Something we're going to talk about in a little bit, but it's on paper. It's
maybe we
fiction.
Should blend into it because I have a good example for you. I'm gonna be pro. You're gonna be con here.
But let's stop it. We're gonna take a break, and then we're gonna come back and argue here on the Wine Vault. So on tonight's potpourri, we're going to talk about wines that have departed us. Wine lines, or where did they go? Wines that were in our face for years, years, that were getting scores from the Wine Spectator. One was...
Not just getting scores, but they were just everywhere, mass marketing and mm-hmm. available. And
then poof!
Wines that we kind of sort of liked.
Then poof!
We've talked ad nauseum about we're doing the Zinfandel show and the Ravenswood lines, and it's
a winery that went out of business technically.
But technically, they've still got some products for sale, but not everything that they used to have.
They
but
trickle out.
We loved the Ravenswood County Designate Series line. Mm-hmm. They had Napa. Napa. They had Medicino. They had Lodi. They had Sonoma. And they were fantastic.
They're very good.
Now, this is in the glory years, the 14, 15, 16 vintages. Similar line, hard to find now. I think they're still out there. Baron or Baron.
That's Copper Cane.
What?
I'm sorry, I had prosciutto hanging in my mouth.
Yeah, he did.
That's Copper Cane Wine Company. Yeah, that's just this. You know what? That's a Joey Wagner, isn't it?
It is.
And it's Copper Cane Baron.
It's good wine.
Baron is Baron.
Good wine.
It's bad wine, but it was good wine in 2013 vintage, and then it went to shit.
No, yes. I disagree.
Well, they had the Sonoma, which was very good in 2013. It was excellent, creamy, toasty oak. It's well-oaked Zinfandel. And their Californian Zinfandel at the same time was quite pleasant. And their Napa was quite good, too. It was a bit more complex. However, after that time, it went to shit.
False. 16 was good. 18 was good. Now you just can't find it. It's a problem.
Because no one wants to find.
No, the 13 and 15 vintages, the 16 vintages was good. 13 was fantastic.
It's like a hidden case of herpes. You don't want to find it.
We had three bottles the one night at my house.
That was the 13. That was the old
one of the bottles. That was one of the bottles we had.
We had Napa, and we had the Californian, and we had all three, the trifecta, and they were all from the glory years.
But they all weren't 13.
Scott, you know what glory holes are. I mean, glory years
are. Yeah. We'll get Wilfred on the show to talk about glory.
What's that? Yeah, glory holes are great, Scott. Hey, Scott, I got some jokes.
No, you
I got a
don't.
Joke for you. I do. Scott.
Let's talk about strangling.
Scott, guess what?
What?
An Australian kiss. How's that different than a normal kiss?
I don't know. Why don't you tell? Do you kiss that way, Wilfred?
No, I don't. It's like a French kiss, but down under. If you get my drift. You know what, Scott?
Sledgehammer?
No. I was watching a really weird porno the other
day. EJ Gallo?
No, which was just a really fat man crying and whining at the same time.
Sounds like Rob the Wine Guy.
And then I realized I hadn't turned the TV on. You know what, Scott? I tried phone sex one time, but you know what the problem was?
What's that? The little holes in the phone weren't big enough?
It's actually the joke. Yes, you've read the holes were too.
I just threw that out, Scott.
Yeah. Oh my God! I asked my wife why she never blinked during foreplay.
Floor play.
You're drunk. Foreplay.
No. You're drunk.
Yes, but you are too. She said, you know what she said?
What'd she say?
She said she didn't have time. I think she's saying I'm not a good lover.
Well, that's a given. I don't think that needs to be said.
You know what's imaginary? That I actually would have a wife.
Well, there's that.
Yeah. You know what? A captive is not a wife.
I thought in California you were allowed to marry your sex toy doll.
I was. Yeah, it is true that you shouldn't be so, you know, discriminatory, you know, in today's world.
Then don't be.
Yeah.
Why are you discriminatory, Wilfred?
Hey, Scott, what do a penis and a Rubik's Cube have in common?
What do a penis and a Rubik's Cube have in common?
The more you play with it, the harder it gets.
Jesus Christ.
That's right. Yes.
Let's talk about the wines.
Hey, Scott, why was the guitar teacher arrested?
Because he listened to the Wine Vault podcast?
No, for fingering a minor.
Jesus Christ, what the fuck is wrong with you?
Oh, my.
What the fuck is wrong with you?
Yeah.
Not funny.
Hey, Scott.
Inappropriate.
What's the difference between hungry and horny?
Eastern Bloc countries?
No, where you stick the cucumber. Yeah. Oh, man. That's hardcore.
So. you know, I'd like to remember what we were doing. I think we were doing a wine.
Fingering them.
No, not funny. Yeah, it was inappropriate.
I laughed, you know.
Because you're a degenerate.
No, because I have a sense of humor. I'm not a tight ass like you.
Jesus. So,
now, there are some wine lines in the past that have disappeared that were in our face. One that I had mentioned was Sledgehammer. Sledgehammer was a curious thing because how many years ago was it? 5-6 years ago? Everything you saw Sledgehammer Cabernet, everything. Sledgehammer Zin, Sledgehammer Merlot, Sledgehammer, Sledgehammer Forged Red. You saw all this shit. It was all in your grocery stores up in your ass. Now it's gone.
Yeah, they had a couple of whites too, I believe.
They had like a weird website too. But all
you
that,
have a weird website.
All that wine ever was a line of wine. There was no vineyard attached to it, so or winery attached to it. So when they decided that it had run its course.
It's like a tolling company makes it. It's a company that makes wine for them. Now, listen, folks, Rob's going to belittle those things, but there are some very good wines made in that fashion.
Like what?
We have a local winemaker who every year travels out to California. And he makes Zinfandel, he makes Petite Sirah, and I think he has a red blend now. But Scott Zannon, out of Upper Arlington, Columbus, Ohio. Zannon wines are great. They really are good wines.
They are good.
And somebody else makes that wine for him. No, is it a factory wine? Is you're denigrating it's all not. These other wines too? No, but there's plenty of wines that are made properly at a winery. But somebody else makes a wine and puts your label on it.
So you're suggesting that Sledgehammer was made properly at a factory?
I think it had a large case production, but so do many of these other wineries have large case production. It doesn't make them factory production.
It was a wine type product that they had a product line attached to it. They had an advertising campaign. It was a bunch of, you know, beat your meat kind of thing. It was for men, right? It was for men.
I'm pretty sure Sledgehammer was marketed to women.
Why?
Why do you think?
I don't know. I bet there's a joke for that, Scott. Let me look here. No. Hey, Scott, what do you call two guys fighting over a slut?
Sledgehammer.
Tug of whore.
What the fuck is wrong with you?
What do you mean?
Why would you read that?
It's a joke.
It's not funny.
What do you call a guy with a small dick?
Rob Dern. The wine guy. Wilford Wong.
How'd you know? No. Justin. How'd you know that? Didn't know. Hey, Scott. What's the difference between ooh and ah?
About 6 inches?
No, it's about 3 inches. You're getting good at this. I can't even tell the jokes anymore. Yeah.
That's good. Then stop telling the jokes.
Hey, Scott, what's the difference between kinky and perverted?
About 3 inches.
No. Kinky is when you tickle your girlfriend with a feather. Perverted is when you use the whole bird. I don't know what that means. I just, you know. And this is when
she'd fly the bird.
This is the one that ran Triple B out of the room. How do you embarrass an archaeologist? You give him a used tampon, and you ask him which period it came from. Yes. Triple B didn't like that one. She threw up. She thought that was gross. And it is. That's the point. So.
E.J. Gallo. That's
E.J. Gallo.
That's hard to find. I think you can still find it. I think you
No. Bear Flag is a E.J. Gallo product.
That's gone.
And you don't see. That used to be on the grocery store shelves. It's gone. Why? Because they've probably taken whatever they made out of that and repackaged it into something else.
Yeah, or somebody else bought the label and
not successfully.
It's just a marketing.
We had Bear Flag on the show, and it was getting like 91 from the Spectator, wasn't it?
I don't remember Bear Flag. What did we do?
No, we did the Zin. You don't remember it because it was bad. It was very boring, but it got a really high score, like a 91 from the Spectator.
We didn't do, in the early days, we didn't do many Zins that weren't worth the price of admission.
Well, this was probably season 4.
It's still out there, brother.
Yeah.
Bear Flag 1, Sonoma County Zinfandel.
What vintage?
Forged by Rebels and Visionaries. Now, I remember this shit. Yeah. This size and 10 for those legal.
What vintage? Because 2021 would be current vintage, maybe even 2022. All I see is 16 and 17. That's all I see.
Yeah, it's not. The page isn't loading even.
Yeah, it's not. It's not around anymore. It's not a bit. It's no longer sold. That's the asinine aspect of these things, that they make them and they act like they have some sort of our story at Bear Flag. They didn't have a story. It was a made up story. It was a, you know, it was a PR project. You know, there wasn't anything to it because EJ Gallo just made up some shit and made up a website. Now Aaron Poitier was the. Was the person that made it, but
it's not even EJ Gallo anymore, isn't it? Starts with an F.
They probably sold out. Yeah.
Who's the Illuminati that starts with an F? Frontera, maybe.
I don't know.
Let's see.
But yeah, I mean,
it seems like they were sold.
But this thing, a couple of vintages, three vintages, then disappeared. You know. All we're saying is be mindful, because a lot of this stuff, if you start drinking it, it's not going to be there the next day. Look for things. Research what you're drinking. It makes a difference. Because are you with Pedroncelli, you're supporting a family that's owned a winery for years.
100 years.
For Bear Flag, you're supporting nobody. No one. No heritage. No tradition.
Yeah, Constellation.
Yeah. There weren't kids that grew up learning their parents' skill set and then, you know, used it generationally. That doesn't exist. Bear Flag is a fake thing, you know?
Actually, it looks like what happened was EJ Gallo bought off some of the Constellation brands. Okay. It looks like it happened. If they didn't buy the whole thing, including Ravenswood.
Mm-hmm.
EJ Gallo owns Ravenswood.
Ravenswood was a winery. I mean, but I don't.
I think it's past tense.
Yep. Baron.
But that doesn't sound right, because this is a 2019 announcement, and we looked for Ravenswood and they were in like this receivership holding pattern of being sold.
I don't know what the status is. You see it get released sporadically, but it's older vintages. I don't know.
And
what...
it's the smaller stock stuff too. It's not. Yeah. It's not the. Larger.
No, I bought the Lodi Zin not too long ago, but maybe about 8 months ago. Remember, I drank it.
I didn't realize.
Yeah, off air, it was fine, but it was like the 18 or 19. It wasn't like a 20 or 21. But you know, things like the Sledgehammer, Federalist, another bullshit label. You know, there's so many things that are out there that if you see in the grocery store and they just don't make sense, you don't see anything that there's a connection to this, to anything. It just looks like a line. Don't buy it. Don't buy it. Seek out the things that actual humans are behind. Not a boardroom, not a factory, you know, not stockholders. Don't support these big conglomerates. Don't support the Illuminati. Why? Because they don't care about you. They don't care about the history. They don't care about winemaking for the most part. There are some that they own. There are some wineries that they own that still control what they do, you know, but
it's like they have artistic rights to continue to make the product. But it's, you know, it's at some point for these family owned wineries, you get into trying to cash out and put money in everybody's pockets. And that's belittling that, or it sounds like I am. I'm not. But at some point they have to sell out. It's what happens so that everybody can be taken care of, to protect, you know, the generational wealth aspect of it.
Well, at some point there is a generation that isn't interested in continuing on the lineage, or, and at that point you have to sell out.
Or it's not even interested, it's not the right thing to do for the business.
Well, no, take this as an example. My grandfather was a farmer. He bought many farms and lots of acreage, and he farmed it. That's what he did. He retired. Well, his son was not a farmer. His son was a lawyer. His grandson is not a farmer. His grandson's a lawyer. That's me. And so we did not continue on that lineage. We still own that acreage. We still own those farms. But we don't farm them. We rent them out. We do other things with them. We, you know, all sorts of stuff. So eventually you'll find that, you know, they don't want to continue on with the lineage of the business. And that's perfectly fine. And then you might find the fact that they cash out, they sell out, they sell to this or that. Pigeon Shelley hasn't really done that. They continue. How do they continue? If you think the same people that own it were the same ones from 1927, you're fucking crazy. They have bought, they found new investors, but they have done a good job of continuing a standard of a product. I mean, quality standards are important. And that's what you don't find in some of these other things. It's not the fact that, and I'm not complaining about things that have been bought out and now were owned by conglomerates. I'm talking about things that are created out of thin air by conglomerates. And there are many of those things that are sitting on your grocery store shelves that don't have an affiliation with any winery. Do you think a Conga has a winery?
No.
It doesn't have a winery. Magistrate doesn't have a winery. You know what it is? It's Wine Press. It's a company. It's a factory. So look at what you're drinking. Consider what it is. And don't buy it if it's bad like that. Do some research. So, folks, we're going to take a break. But we'll be right back here on the Wine Vault. And we're back, folks. So, the old school good from Pedroncelli, their mother clone, Dry Creek Valley Zinfandel. Scott, a proper wine from a proper winery from a proper region.
Stewed plum.
We haven't. Let's break this down. Yeah. We didn't break it down earlier.
Stewed plum. That brambly berry thing. Blackberry.
Gobs of blackberry. Allspice.
Mm-hmm.
In the mid palate.
A little peppery-ish, maybe like white mm-hmm. pepper.
Yeah.
It's nowhere near, you know, in a recent episode we did Marietta Sellers OVR Lot 73. Mm-hmm. That was a peppery motherfucker. This is not that.
Yeah,
it's got a nice light white pepper thing.
And it has a nice, and this is going to sound weird, a vegetal, stocky rhubarb component all the way through. And which sounds weird, but that is the briary element. That's one of the briary elements that really the rustic, off-kilter components that a Zinfandel does well with that you like to see.
Yeah, and I think to some degree that's just an expression of its acidity, that rhubarb-esque thing, which is Rob saying, you know, that can sound like it's a negative. It's not.
It's not.
It's not. And it's a very subtle thing.
Yep.
It's not the biggest zin you're going to ever have. It's not the most tannic zin you're going to ever have. But it's pretty freaking good. And this has sat for more than a year.
Easily. This is a 19, but it's been in the queue for a while.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's been more than a year since I...
Yeah, it's probably been at least a year. When did I go to Covington? Which, one thing we do on the show, we don't rush things. I mean, certain things get time to age and rest on a rack. And this is one of those wines that I never really could figure out when to kind of put it in the show.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing that we had had it years ago. But and tonight I said, just fuck it. Let's do it.
Yeah, and I got this for a good price. Why not come to since in the 20s, brother?
Yeah, it shouldn't.
This was $15.
You should be able to buy this below 20 in the $17, $18 range and all day long.
$15.
Mm-hmm. And wine.com right now, they don't have any to sell, but if they were, it would be a $17, $18. And you bought this at 15?
That's a great price.
Wonderful price.
Yeah, it's a good price. Let's continue to break this down. The oaking is subtle.
Mm-hmm.
And I would use the word soft, which again is fine. It's not the longest, it's not the biggest, but this is just the beauty of this wine is it's in its classicism. It's just classic.
I like that word.
Dry Creek Valley AVA designate Zinfandel.
Well, this wine's focus from the winery on isn't oak. It isn't.
Mm-mm.
It is classic Zin.
They know what they're doing. They stay out of the way. It's oaked properly, but it's not over-oaked. Oak is just one of the pieces in the puzzle.
It's a framing element.
But so score-wise, where am I at? This is a 90.
Mm-hmm.
I love this wine. I think it's classic. I would have to say, in my opinion, as much as I like this, this probably isn't their best vintage. There's probably years that this pops off the chart better than this. This is a great wine for the price. Again, $15. Mm-hmm. I love it. The quality for price ratio, QPR.
Oh, no, don't do that.
The QPR on this is off the charts. But more to the point, it's like, this is your buddy. This is your pal. You know what you're getting here.
It's almost Thanksgiving dinner.
It 4th of July fireworks.
No.
Yes.
You know my
No, but what I'm saying
is, one of my
is,
highest compliments is Thanksgiving dinner.
And you're talking about when you would serve this. I'm just talking about
What I equate it to. It is comfort food style wine.
And what I'm saying is, this is what you know it is. 4th of July, you're going to have hot dogs, hamburgers, fireworks. Thanksgiving dinner, you're going to have turkey, stuffing, mashed potatoes, pumpkin pie.
Man, I'm having lamb chops. I'm having, because I already have, we have like $1,000 worth of high incendiary coming to this house.
Of who?
We
fireworks.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Lord, you're going to hurt yourself.
Well, and then we're having lamb chops.
Is Henry going to be in charge of the fireworks?
No, he's not.
He probably should be.
No. You're welcome.
He'll be super sober.
You're welcome. You're going to see some shit get blown up.
I don't feel safe.
It will be July 1st here at Casa de Dern, July 1st.
I think there's a crew game that night.
Oh, we're going to be blowing shit up.
Why the July 1st? What?
Because that's when we're doing it, man. We're celebrating America.
America?
Love it or leave it.
Yeah, I think there's a crew game.
And on to me. I am also going to give this wine 90 of my points. I think it's worthy of 90. It's a little bit better than the Wine Spectator suggested. It is solid. Solid as the day is long. Strong wine. And you know what? Petroncelli is one of these wineries that it's a great wine that is just great because of the essence of the grape that they're producing.
They know what they're doing.
They're not trying to over-stylize it. They're not blending it with 85 different things to try to make it something that gets a 99 from the fucking Parker. They're doing something that they know is great. And they said, you know, okay, yeah, Spectator, oh, you want to drink it? Fine. And quite frankly, an 89 from the Spectator used to be a pretty damn good score. We've always poo-pooed 89s anymore. But that's a good score from the Spectator. A classic 89 from the Spectator is a tasty wine. Listen, it's a tasty wine. It's a little bit better than 89, though.
the whole wine
James
scoring
Suckling
thing,
would give it a 94.
Yeah, the whole wine scoring thing is out of control. And we try to be the voices of reason here. Oh, at least...
It's okay. Inaccurate.
Okay. It is inaccurate.
Scores have gotten more and more inaccurate.
Oh, it is inaccurate. I'm trying to be the voice of reason.
Oh, my
You're
God.
Completely unreasonable. Every once in a while, you come in line with my scores. Every once in a while, you get it right. So I'm glad that tonight you saw the light. Because normally you're blinded by the light.
Sweet bait. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Caught up by a douche. Because that's
like
wine.
A rover in the night.
That's what it is. Yes. Caught up by a douche. You're the douche. Wow. I always thought that was what it was. I thought there was the word douche in that song, but, you know.
Of course you did.
I know.
Why don't you tell some more horribly offensive Wilford Wrong jokes?
I know.
Oh, we're not.
You know. Well, wonderful wine, though. I'm pretty proud of this wine. I don't know why, because I didn't make it.
Well, no, it's a friend of the show. It's like a friend of the family. It's like a lost family member that comes back into the fold, and unexpectedly, you know, you've set a table setting for them at Christmas dinner for years, and then just as you sit down, you've popped the champagne, everybody's, you know, the dishes are going around, nobody's got their turkey served yet, but, you know, the dishes are being passed, there's a knock on the door, and there's that lost family member. In this case, it's Pedroncelli Mother Cologne, and you're just happy to see them because you've had a space at the table for them every year, and sometimes they show, sometimes they don't. This time, Pedroncelli showed, and it's well worth the wait.
Hey, Scott, how do you make a pool table laugh?
How do you make a pool table laugh, Wilfred?
You tickle its balls. Get it?
You know you told that last week.
Now, right? I might have, but hey, Scott. Did you know what? Hey, what did the perverted frog say?
Ribbit?
No, rabbit. Yeah. Hey, Scott.
No, that's enough.
No.
That's enough.
It's not.
No, save it for next week, please.
Why did the sperm cross the road?
Sperm. What's that, a new line of furniture at the IKEA?
Yes, it is. Why did the sperm cross the road?
To get to the other side.
No, because I put the wrong sock on this morning. Yes. It's a cum sock, Scott.
What?
You jack off into the sock and you have all your cum in one sock. Yes. Yeah. Hey, Scott.
I'm so disappointed in you.
Let's play carpenter.
No,
let's not. No, yes. First, we'll get hammered. Then I'll nail you.
Told this last week.
I have a problem, yeah.
You definitely have problems.
That's hey, Scott, what do you do when your cat's dead?
Nothing.
You play with the neighbor's pussy instead. Yes.
No.
Right. Yeah, fuck you, Scott.
So, folks, 290s, Hall of Fame for Pedroncelli, Mother Glenn's Zinfandel, and a tip of the cap to myself because I'm fantastic. So for Rob the Wine Guy and Scott the Unlicensed Taxi Driver.
Titch.
We are going to bid you adieu. But see you next time here on the Wine Vault. Good night.